Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from the Lord our Savior, Jesus Christ. Today's gospel reading from John chapter 17 is the end of a time that Jesus had with his disciples. Quickly, John 18, with torches and lanterns and weapons, the soldiers will come and they'll seize Jesus as Judas identifies him with a kiss. From John chapter 13 to John chapter 17, Jesus talks to his disciples, he washes their feet, he gives to them the promise of the Holy Spirit, and then he leaves from them, and they follow him, but he leaves from them to now go talk to his Lord, his Father, in prayer. This is a night of betrayal. It's a night when everything that Jesus is in his divinity and his humanity is going to come into tension with what the world is bringing against him in violence and betrayal. How united will God be in his desire to bring us to be one with him? Will the unity of the will of God, will it be strong enough through this night of betrayal? Or will what happens on this night, will it rip apart the divinity and the humanity of Jesus? Colossians 2:9 promises that in Christ dwells the whole fullness of God. And as Jesus prays to his Father, he is praying that that whole fullness that exists in him, that unity of all that is divine and that unity of all that is human, that it would be brought together both in his apostles. In 17:11, which isn't a part of our reading, he prays for the apostles that they may be one, as even as he is leaving them, that they would remain one with him. And then we jump now to verse 20 where we're at. Then he prays for all those who will believe in him through the words that the apostles will share. This, by the way, is the moment when you are in a prayer of Jesus. I've always enjoyed, as a pastor, it doesn't happen often, but I've enjoyed when from the altar I hear someone pray my name. Even when it's for something that is sad and grieving me, to hear my name, to hear me remembered. Because sometimes, you know, as a pastor, we'll get the prayer, and I'll even have a line in there to pray for all the pastors of the church. Somehow that doesn't quite feel like it's a prayer for me because I'm saying it. It's kind of a nicer thing to be a part of a larger church staff, that there's times when I'm in the pews or sitting on this bench here and I'll hear another pastor pray for me. It's something neat to hear your name. I always found it neat to hear my name just in general growing up because there weren't many Evans when I was growing up. There's now, if I hear someone call Evan on a playground, I absolutely know they're not calling me. They're calling for one of the little kids that's doing something. And it's not just because the mom is using her mom voice. It's because I'm just not used to hearing the name Evan. Maybe some of you are more used to hearing your name. Your name is more common. But I think probably no matter how common your name is, it still feels kind of cool to hear someone remember your name. Well, in this prayer, Jesus is remembering you. Because he says that he wants all those who will believe in him through the words that the apostles will share with them to be a part of this prayer. That means you. It means me. It means so many saints that I've known in the past that are being remembered by Jesus. It's good to be prayed for by Jesus. And as we think about being prayed for by Jesus, what does he pray for? He prays that all believers would be one. And he prays that all of the believers that would be one in him, just as he and the Father are one. Now, there is a desire I have that the church would be one. It grieves me as I drive a street and I see several different church buildings. And I think back to my wife telling the story about her grandfather and her grandmother. And it was a mixed marriage in Iowa because her grandfather was from the Danish Lutheran Church and she was from the German Lutheran Church. And there was quite a bit of family conflict for a little bit until they finally just reconciled to all the family that they just have to deal with it. It's a funny story, but it's kind of sad too. But as much as we want us to be one here, and we dream for that moment when the scandal of division would be gone, the thing that really amazes me about this prayer isn't just that Jesus wants us to be one. I want you to know what kind of oneness he wants us to have. He wants us to have that same oneness that exists between him and the Father. That's incredibly close. I mean, earlier in John, he had told the people, as much as you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I mean, there was this sense of just unity that exists in the will of the Father and in the action of the Son. And then in John 16, he had told his disciples that we're going to send the Spirit also to you, to lead and counsel you to always see this unity. The unity that God desires isn't just a homogeneous community of a bunch of people that kind of have the same clothing. Earlier this winter, I shaved my beard, and some people had asked why I had done it. It's because I had gone to a soccer game, and I looked at all the men. It's an over 40 team. I looked at all the men on the team. We're all about 44, 45, 46. We all had the same beard. I was just like, oh. This isn't the unity that Jesus is praying for. So then I'm with this team again, and I came to a game two weeks ago, and I saw a couple of the guys that had beards in the winter. Now we're back together playing summer. They shaved their beards, so I was like, all right, I can grow mine now. What kind of unity is God really asking for? Isn't a community of a bunch of people that can look around and say, I know these people because they look like me. He wants a community that's joined together by saying, I know these people because they're loved by Jesus. He wants us to be able to look at one another and see all that would cause discord and strife and brokenness and fear and the sense of distance between us, to have that healed. Because he prays then that the world believe that the Father has sent me through their unity. God desires that we are united as believers, and that this unity would be as close as that unity that exists between him and his Father. And in verse 21, he says, why? So that the world will believe, Father, that you have sent me. This close relationship that God desires us to have has been foreshadowed throughout the scriptures. In Adam and Eve, it was there. Bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman. At last. Adam and Eve, there was that unity of marriage. In Elijah and Elisha, there is this unity of mentoring and caring for one another. Those two Old Testament prophets who passed the baton off one to the next because they had this unity of ministry that was cemented in the way that Elijah mentored Elisha. We have this unity that's found in David. King David and Jonathan, Saul's son. It's a unity that's found in friendship and care that David and Jonathan will stick with the truth of their friendship and the care for one another, even as Jonathan's dad, Saul, is asking him to betray that friendship. Or we have the unity that's found in Naomi and Ruth, of generations in a family that will follow after one another, and how Naomi will care for Ruth and make sure that she's ready and set up. There are so many foreshadowing moments in the scripture that call for us to see what God is asking us to find our fulfillment in. And this unity that brought together Adam and Eve in that marriage, Elijah and Elisha, and that sense of mentoring and caring for the legacy of ministry, or for David and Jonathan in friendship, or Naomi and Ruth in that care a family that multiplies in generations. And as we read about these kind of friendships and marriages and ministry relationships, we hunger and strive still to find that fulfillment, to find that sense of completion and answer. And I think about that sense of drive that we can have for all sorts of things. Can drive to just physically, have drive to have the fastest car, or that drive to have the greenest yard. We can have a drive for a lot of things. But I know that there is a drive for just friendship, for marriage. There's this drive to be united with one another. And on the edge of that night, when that seems so impossible, Jesus prays for you. On the edge of a night when that marriage that you have may just seem so hard, on that edge of that night, Jesus is praying for you. In that moment when a friendship has just been crossed by words that you no longer can take back, and that night will seem so long, in that edge of that night, Jesus is praying for you. When you're in this relationship of work like Elijah and Elisha, and you want everything to just click right, but you no longer see eye to eye, and you're wondering, is this the place I should be anymore? Is this my vocation? And you're at that moment where the sun has not risen to give you a brilliant view of what's next. You're still in the twilight of the night. And that night, Jesus prays for you. Jesus prays for you to know the oneness, that oneness with each other. He prays for you to know that oneness that exists in God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He prays for you to know this oneness, because in each one of these relationships that I've described to you, it was always for the next thing, for Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply, for Elijah and Elisha to be able to share this word so that there would always be this remnant in the land that would know the promise of God, for David and Jonathan so that there would always be one who was anointed to be a blessing in the land, and Naomi and Ruth, so that Ruth would not be alone in that land. Naomi watched her and cared for her and helped her know Boaz. In each one of these relationships, God formed, shaped, and nurtured that relationship for that next thing. In John 17, 21, he says, I want to pray for all those who will believe through their word so that they will be in me so that the world may know me. God is nurturing this relationship of unity we have here so that the next thing can be known. And these nights when it can be hard to imagine the day will arrive, Jesus prays for us. He prays for us so that we may know that this night is not long. The resurrection will come and life will happen. This is the relationship with God that I pray you to know as well. In the name of Jesus, amen.